Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. You're listening to The Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alex Gold.
Back in here on SB Nation Radio, and let's talk some NFL football heading into Week 14 of the season. And joining us now on the BetDSI.com inside line is the Super Bowl champion, former head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, and current NFL Network analyst Brian Billick, kind enough to join us on the program. Coach, how are we doing?
I'm doing great today.
Well, I wanted to get your perspective on the handling kind of this time of the year where plenty of coaches' seats are warm. We saw longtime Packers head coach Mike McCarthy let go. Some have said the organization should have let him finish out the season given what he has done there. As a former coach, how do you see that? Do you agree that they should have let him finish out the season?
Well, we see coaches let go during the season all the time for a varying number of reasons. What is shocking, for lack of a better term here, is one, this is not typically something Green Bay does. And the fact that Mike McCarthy, a Super Bowl winning coach, 9 out of 11 or 12 years in the playoffs. It really comes down to what is it you're trying to accomplish? The Packers are out of it. There's no way they're going to climb their way back into it. Do you really think this change is going to change the profile and your ability to win? Secondly, are you just doing that so you can get a jump on the coaching market to size up, you know, what change you're going to make? Teams say that's what they're going to do, but in fact really don't put that into practice because many times you see them, it's late January, early February before they fill the job. So, again, it's not strange that someone has let a coach go, but someone with Mike McCarthy's track record, the fact that it's Green Bay, I think that's what makes it so unique.
At least from the outside, I know none of us are there inside that organization, but does the message just get stale? What would you say, Mike McCarthy, someone that had all that kind of success? A lot of people have said, well, maybe it's similar ideally for him if it turns out like Andy Reid, where maybe the message got stale in Philly, and then now we know what he's been able to do in Kansas City.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, that's kind of the conventional line of thinking when you talk about this. Well, you know, Bill Walsh, the legendary Bill Walsh, firmly believed that you couldn't be in one place more than 10 years for that very reason, whether it's ownership, whether it's management, the fans, the media, the players themselves. Now, obviously, the turnover in your personnel from year to year with the players should go counterintuitive to that a little bit in terms of, you know, you've got to constantly deliver your message. But, yes, there's going to be a core of guys that if they've been with you for a long time, yeah, they're going to hear that message over and over again. So, it's a typical excuse. But that doesn't mean that at the end of the day, sometimes as an organization, you just have to make a change for change's sake.
Super Bowl champion, former head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, and current NFL Network analyst Brian Billick joining us here on SB Nation Radio. And don't forget, Thursday Night Football going on tonight with the Jags and Titans on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. Lastly, with the Packers, you, of course, have Aaron Rodgers, one of the more respected organizations as well in football. Because of that, we don't know the other available jobs out there ultimately, but is the Packers gig one of the more attractive openings we've had in a while, considering you got one of the best quarterbacks to ever play this spot?
Yeah, and that's a direct correlation, you know. Plus the fact that the ownership structure in Green Bay, they've been a fairly stable organization. There's a lot of things that will pull you up to Green Bay, not the least of which is you're going to start with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's a heck of a place to begin with. And when you look at the Packers themselves, it's always difficult to separate because you say, okay, well, it was Mike McCarthy. Is Aaron Rodgers not playing well? No, the Packers aren't very good. They don't have enough personnel around them. It's kind of hard to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going on around him. So that's going to be job one, whoever comes in. But you got to be optimistic about that, going, yeah, we can change the profile and the makeup of the team. And when you begin with an Aaron Rodgers, that's a pretty good beginning.
Now, while we're on coaching, more than ever we see, you know, a conversation around analytics and teams going for two, whether or not it was smart to go for it here on fourth down, and it seems like more people have access to that information, so therefore it's talked about so much more. How do you view that when you see kind of where the sport has gone on the analytics side?
Well, yeah. First off, and the analytics are real. I was one of those guys years and years ago that was kind of on the cutting edge of the using the computers and the analytics. And at the end of the day, though, when you look at it, and we're kind of overwhelmed with it. First, in my opinion, you can't money ball the NFL. It just doesn't work. People want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. You make the extrapolation from baseball, but you just can't. There's not enough in terms of the statistics. Yeah, there are certain things that apply to it. You're seeing it. I think more and more teams are going for it on fourth down in the open field. They're pressing it for that one more possession. And I think that has some validity to it to a degree. But at the end of the day, I'm very aware of and see all these analytic reports all the time that come from different teams and that they're generated. And it's great. But my question is, okay, what do I do with this? You've given me a bit of information here. I always half joke that you know the guy that and the digit domos that say, oh, well, you got to go for anything less than fourth and two. Okay, when I do that on my own 20-yard line against the Pittsburgh Steelers and I don't get it, I want you standing next to me with a big sign on you saying, I'm the guy that told Coach to do this. You know, as a coach, yes, you use it. And the same thing, your example of going for it on, for 2 points and wearing the game. The old chart of when you go for it, I think you can kind of throw that out because that has changed. But a lot of times, am I on the road or am I at home? Is my offense playing well or is my defense playing well? I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it. It can't just be a pat, okay, at this point in the game, with this score differential, you go for 2 points or you go for it on fourth down. There's a lot of that. What's the weather? You know, mm-hmm. Where am I in my season? I mean, there's a lot of factors that have to factor into it that I'm sure you can put the analytics to a degree, but that comes back to the coach that's saying, you know, I've been here before. Here's the flow of the game. I'm betting on my offense, my defense, on their offense, their defense. A lot of different things go into it.
Now, unfortunately, the past week or so in the NFL, we've seen a lot of off-the-field issues pop up. A guy like Reuben Foster in trouble again for domestic violence, and he gets picked up by Washington. Now, former Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt with multiple incidents of alleged assault coming to light. Starting with Washington, what do you make of their decision to sign a guy that likely, not likely, but he's not going to play this season and may never play for the organization, but certainly they're taking a huge PR hit for this?
Yeah, because and people say, well, what's the difference between Kareem Hunt and Reuben Foster? Well, we got tape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the visual images of Kareem Hunt doing what he's doing, and now it's beginning to pile on a little bit. And seeing a number of different instances, the fact that he lied to his organization, lied to his coaches, lied to his teammates, basically, in that situation. But let's keep in mind now, and this is always a hard one to talk about because people think you're trying to defend them, but players have rights. Now, when accusations like these are made, you have to respect the player's rights to kind of go through that process. Now, that's what Washington says they're doing in picking up the player, to let the process work itself out. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. You know, for a team, and I'm not surprised that a Kareem Hunt was not signed. The question will be, what process does he have to go through? Or are mm-hmm. you just flat saying a guy that does this can never play in the NFL again? Well, we're a team, you know, we're a country and a league that loves to give second chances. If he wants to try to redeem himself, if he's contrite, if he's repentant, I don't know what that process is or what that time frame is that he can work himself back into the graces of the National Football League. I think we have to leave that possibility open, but I think it's too soon for that to happen right now.
Now, I'm always curious behind the scenes in terms of these organizations, because a lot of people are questioning, what did the NFL know? What did the Chiefs know, whether it was the video, the incident of the February video, or in the last few days, now another incident actually happening in Kansas City surfaced from back in January in their own city. How much access does a team, an organization, to know what's going on in their own city with their own players?
A great deal. And they have a security structure both league-wide and by the individual clubs. You know, I'm not privy to it. I don't know what the facts are. It's amazing to me that given the Ray Rice situation and the way the league and the Ravens and the way that thing went down, which is probably documented in any case study book of any PR of how not
sure.
to handle a situation, to now find ourselves in that same situation, that's a head-scratcher for me to think that the league and the Chiefs were totally unaware of this tape and it didn't surface till now and it took a TMZ to unearth it, yeah, maybe that's the case. But at the very least, then you've got to go back and once again re-scrutinize your security process, both at the league level and the club level, when something like this can be, you know, so hidden from your ability to make the judgment on what you're doing with the player.
Super Bowl champion, former head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, and current NFL Network analyst Brian Billick joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Now, the Baltimore Ravens, their rookie quarterback Lamar Jackson, 3-0 as a starter, has the Ravens just a half game out of the AFC North lead. They got a heck of a test this week at Arrowhead in Kansas City. You know, you watch them, and I feel like a lot of people have the same reaction. They say, all right, how sustainable is this offense? Is it sustainable?
Well, I think this is a fascinating game, and I've been only half joking on our show Playbook that this is good versus evil. This is the future of the NFL. This is, you know, this is an apocalyptic, because you're exactly right. You talk about a confluence of two teams. One, the old school mentality of play great defense, not good defense, but great defense, to run the ball now at a league leading level over the last 3 weeks. They've had over 200 yards rushing each of the last 3 weeks. We haven't seen that since 2010. All but uniquely, and obviously your quarterback is chipping in at a 60, 70, 80, 100-yard clip to it, and that's why you're running the ball as well. It helps you convert on third down. The problem is they can't throw a lick. And so can that formula, great defense, you know, spectacular running, good conversion on third down, hopefully not turn the ball over, is that enough to overcome one of the most dynamic, explosive offenses we've seen in a long time? Well, we're going to find out. It's going to be interesting and to see if indeed that formula, that's the formula we won a Super Bowl with back in 2000, and that Tampa won the next year and New England won the next year, but we're in a totally different environment right now, so we'll see.
Lastly for you, Coach, other than the Chargers, who look to be a serious contender, whether they're a wild card or they still totally have a shot still in the AFC West with if things go their way, which team other than them in the hunt that's not a divisional leader right now do you feel is the most dangerous?
Well, and obviously we're just battling for that sixth spot because mm-hmm. it's going to be obviously the Chargers. They are a division leader, but I think Houston's becoming a very, very interesting, you know, under the radar when you talk about Kansas City, New England, and the explosive Pittsburgh, how well San Diego's playing, but obviously Houston. But, you know, the Ravens, again, with this formula, when you're playing that good a defense, and this is going to sound odd, the Denver Broncos are an interesting team. Obviously, we kind of given up for dead early on. Their losses are you know, they're 6-6, but their schedule going forward, you know, going to play the 49ers, they're going to play Cleveland, they're at Oakland, and then they play the Chargers. And the Chargers, that last game, may very well not have anything to play for. Their seed may be already set. So, you know, to answer the question, I think the Denver Broncos are maybe one of the more intriguing stories as to their ability to kind of find themselves in that sixth spot. You look at the Ravens, they got Kansas City, they got the Chargers 2 weeks before the end of the season, so the at L.A. They've already lost to Cleveland. You know, of course, Indianapolis has got Houston. This is going to be a big one, and Dallas before they play the Giants and then Tennessee. So, Denver's a team that's kind of interestingly given up for dead that maybe, you know, just kind of keep hanging around.
Terrific perspective as always from Super Bowl champion, former head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, and you can check him out on NFL Network. Brian Billick, thanks so much for your time, Coach.
Glad to do it.
At Coach Billick on Twitter, and our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code WIN125 and get 125% bonus on your deposit. Get all the plays in the inside line at BetDSI.com. We'll update you on this blowout for Thursday Night Football. Plus, odds are out on whether or not Urban Meyer will be coaching before 2020.